things. A long time ago, I had a friend, Russ Dunham. He was a best boy and a cameraman in the movie industry. And he did a movie. Gregory Peck starred in that movie. And he told me about the movie and how the story got started. Cursed things. There was a man that was a whaler. And this great whale had chewed him up, spit him up, took off his leg and scarred him all over his body. Well, that man had one thing in mind, and that was to go get that whale and to kill that whale. And he went out into the ocean with his crew, and he convinced them that they were going to go after this whale. Whales at that time were very important for oil, and they used them. But this man had a vengeance. This man had a vengeance. His soul was cursed with that vengeance. Now, Israel is a people that God had called out for his namesake. We have Abraham and we have Jacob. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. The sons of Israel, or Israel, are his children. And in the last two chapters of the book of Genesis, it tells us how Jacob blessed his children. But he said, Judah, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and the scepter would not depart from between Judah's knees until Shiloh comes. In other words, until the Lord comes. Now, Israel had a place in God's economy. If you look over here in this chart, you'll find out that God had called Israel out. He promised Abraham, because of the Abrahamic promise, there is Israel. Because of the Davidic promise, Israel will be on the throne someday. We know that Jesus Christ came to his own and his own received him not. We're going to get that into the next message. But Israel would be set aside for a time because she rejected her Messiah and King. For 1,000 years, Israel will rule on this earth, epites geis, upon the literal ground of the earth, because of that Davidic and that Abrahamic covenant. Now, I have people write letters to me all the time. I have one write a letter to me the other day, and he said he had confusion of what Israel and the church was. Well, Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. In the book of Romans, it talks about spiritual Israel. Well, the church is spiritual. The true Israelites today is the church. But that did not set aside Israel altogether. Many people believe in what is called replacement theology, that Israel was replaced by the church, and forever she will be replaced by the church. Israel will never be the bride of Christ. I will assure you of that. Israel will never be the bride of Christ because she rejected her husband. And the whole Old Testament talks about that. But because of God's what we call irrevocable calling, his unconditional covenants with Abraham and David, Israel will reign with the Lord for 1,000 years. But they will have to go through a tribulation period first. And 2/3 of the physical Israel on the earth will die. 2/3 of the Jews will die. 1/3 of the Jews will be taken in, and only the Jews and only those saved Gentiles will go into the millennial reign of Christ on this earth. for 1,000 years. At the end of that time, the earth was going to be depopulated during the tribulation period. 5 out of every 6 Gentiles will be killed, 2 out of every 3 Jews. But for 1,000 years, people will live like they should have lived, all the way from the garden. They will live on the earth without a curse. The earth will not be cursed. And they will live. Many will die because they reject God. At the end of that time, Satan is going to be, for the whole 1,000 years, he's going to be in the bottomless pit. There will be no demonic nor satanic influence on the earth at all. At the end of the tribulation period, God will release him out of the bottomless pit, Revelation 27 through 9, and he will go up to deceive those that lived. And people call themselves atheists and agnostics today. There won't be any atheists and agnostics in the millennial reign. But some people will reject Christ. Those cursed ones. The cursed things. The cursed ones will reject. And then we'll have the great white throne judgment where all lost humanity will be resurrected in bodies, in cursed bodies, cursed things. And they will be judged and thrown into the lake of fire which burned forever and ever and ever. Now here we come to Jesus' prophecy of that period of time. The prophecy of the cursed things. We're going to read it from the Greek language, and then we're going to translate it, and we'll go from there. Pauline, homoi, esten, hey, basilia, ton, urano, sagene, ble, these, eis, tain, thalasson, kai, ek, pontos, genus, sin, ago, guse. And again, it is like the kingdom of God, of the heavens that is. The kingdom of heavens and the kingdom of God are basically the same thing. The kingdom of the heavens. It's like a net, a dragnet, a seine, a sweep net that takes absolutely everything. We have what we call fish factory ships. They go on into the ocean and they drag all the way and they take everything in there. Everything. Completely depopulate the ocean. That's what this is. This is going to go out and it's going to completely take everything. Everything. Not one thing left. This dragnet. This seine. This sweep net. It'll take everything it's a path. And having been passed unto the sea, and out of every kind, having gathered every kind of species of fish or thing that's in the ocean. 1348 now, and we'll go back and read it in the Amplified Bible. Hain hote et plei rothe, ana bi basantes epi ton. I gi alon kai kithasantes sin el lazon ta kala eis age ange that is ta de safra hetso ek balon. When which it was filled, it's talking about the net, and having brought up upon the shore. And having sat down, they collected the good unto ange vessels, containers, but the sapra, the bad, outside they cast it, outside, cast outside. Verse number 19 now, 49 that is. Hutos estai ente sin tele. Tu ionos exelusontai hoi angeloi kai aphoriusen tois panerus ek mesu ton dikaion. And in this matter it shall be in the completion, the coming together of the age. They shall go forth, the angels. Now the angels are the ones that's going to do this, not you and not me. The angels shall go forth, and they shall separate the ones evil, panerus, this is the twisted, wicked ones. Now, these are the cursed things. What are the cursed things? Those that have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many religious people in the world today that are cursed people. They're cursed because of what they've done with Jesus Christ. The Muslims, there's what? 1.2 billion Muslims in the world? 1.5 billion maybe? Cursed ones? If you're a Muslim out there listening to this message tonight, turn from that hellish religion and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the God of heaven that came down to give you eternal life before it's forever too late. If you're into Catholicism, the same thing. Quit worshiping Mary. Quit worshiping the host. Quit practicing the seven sacraments, which are what we call vehicles of grace, which are nothing but lies. Quit practicing that. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Let Him be your Savior. Let Him be your confessor. If you're in Jehovah's Witness doctrine that does away with Jesus Christ as the Son of God altogether and does away with His death, burial, and resurrection, come out of that hellish mess. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died for you. Repent of your sins and be saved. Mormonism, all of these man-made religions, cults, Moonies, Buddhists, all of these that replace Jesus Christ with some idol, with some token, with some talisman, instead of Jesus Christ as your Savior, real Savior. These cursed things in this manner, in the completion of the age, they shall go forth, the angels, and they shall separate the evil ones, the cursed ones, out of the midst of the ones righteous. Out of the ones righteous. That shall what shall happen. Verse number 50. Kai bolusen autois eis tein kaminon tu piros eke estai ho klothmos kai ho bregmos ton adonta. And they shall cast them. Who? The cursed ones. They shall cast the cursed ones unto the furnace. The furnace of fire, the furnace of God's wrath, the furnace of God's displeasure. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent His Son into the world not to curse the world, not to judge the world, but that the world might have life. Those that have rejected Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, I mean He's real, people. He's real. If you rejected Him, there won't be any hope for you unless you turn back. Unless you come back. Unless you turn back to God. Atheists, agnostics, those people They will not be one moment after they die, one second after they die, where they will be believers, but it'll be forever too late. There are no agnostics, there are no atheists in hell. They will all believe. They will all believe. Let's go back and read this now. In verse number 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Remember, this is that complete dragnet. This is that complete net, which was cast into the sea and gathered in fish of every sort. When it was full, men dragged it upon the beach and sat down and sorted out the good fish into vessels. But the worthless ones he threw away. So it will be at the close and the consummation of the age, and the angel will go forth and separate the wicked ones from the righteous ones, those who are upright and in right standing with God. Verse number 50 now. And cast the wicked ones into the furnace of fire, there shall be weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. Weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth. The gnashing, grinding of teeth. This is a sad time. God did not want to put any of them there. He did not want to send anybody to hell. He will never send anybody to hell. They will send themselves to hell. You will make that decision for yourself. God does not create damned things. When God created Lucifer, Hillel, he was not damned, but he had a choice. Lucifer damned himself. I want you to go back and think about that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ and Israel upon this earth. Again, I want to say, the church is church. The church is the bride of Christ. The church will be in heaven for 1,000 years with the Lord, while upon the earth shall be Israel. National Israel. Ruling and reigning as they should have when the Messiah King came the first time. Israel is Israel, the church is the church. That reign for 1,000 years is a real reign. In Latin, it's millennium. That's what we get millennium from, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't believe in that. They're all millennials. The word in Greek is kilia eter, 1,000 years. Latin is millennium. So is the word millennium in the Bible? Yes, it is. Kilianum, millianum, and millennium. 1,000 year. 1,000 year reign of Christ. Is the word rapture in the Bible? Yes, the word rapture in the Bible. The snatching away of the church before the tribulation period. And that church shall be with the Lord for that winning week of years. Every time in the Hebrew world, a good friend of mine, James Nye, wrote a little book, The Hebrew Wedding. And I read that on the website. It's there if you want to listen to that, The Hebrew Wedding. How that the Hebrew girl and boy, they were engaged and they were married, and they had a wedding feast for 7 days. The tribulation period is called Daniel's Week, Israel's Week. It's on him and his people. That's Israel, people. That's Israel, real Israel. Not the church. That's Israel. For 7 years, the week of years, Israel will be brought through that fire until they scream and holler and they look upon the one they have pierced. And they say, Baruch Hashem, blessed and holy is the name of the one that came in the name of the Lord. It's real, people. It's real. I want to read something to you from Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables of the Bible. And by the way, if you want to study the parables, all the parables of the Bible, I did 194 classes on them. It's on Sermon Audio and on DiscoverTheWordWithDrJim.com. Herbert Lockyer on page 204, for several pages, talks about the parable of the good and the bad fish, the cursed things and the blessed things. This is a solemn parable. His parable was similar one, the wheat and the tares, and that cursed tree also. Now, a fruit tree or a vine in the Bible days, those people, every tree was precious. And we talk about the good tree, and there was nothing on the tree, the fig tree. It was a fruit tree. Now, by the way, the Jews don't waste any wood, even when they trim the larger limbs of the almond tree. Not the almond trees, well, almond trees also, but even the olive trees. They take that wood and they make use of it. They made use of it in Jesus' time. The fires that they built was out of brambles and brush and things like that in the smallest limbs. They didn't burn up good trees. A fruit tree was something you didn't cut down. When I was in the land of Israel in 1975 and 76, they said that when you plant an olive tree, you don't plant it for yourself, you plant it for your children. Olive tree takes quite a few years to start bearing and producing enough fruit. Almond trees do the same thing. It takes 7 years. The only thing that the Jews would use for firewood was limbs, little limbs, just brush, and the small limbs that they trimmed. A tree was not cut down unless it was the last thing they could do it, and even then, they made furniture or plows or something out of that wood. But when Jesus cursed that fig tree and said, "Pull it up by the roots," that was a drastic thing. Not only did they take it and pull it up by the roots, he said, but throw it into the fire. Eternal damnation. Eternal damnation. That was a drastic measure. Cut down a tree and burn it up. It wasn't fit for furniture. It wasn't fit for a tool or nothing at all. Not one thing. It was cursed. It was a cursed thing. Now let's look here for a few moments. It said the solemn parable is paired with the similar one, the wheat and the tares. And both of these parables show good and bad side by side. And then they are divided. They are divided. So it shall be at the end of the age. Both describe the work of angels in separating the wicked from the just. Both describe the doom of the wicked, the cursed things. Both describe the doom of the wicked and the fire, where there shall be wailing and grinding and gnashing of teeth. In each parable, then, has this one central and distinguishing fact. We might have expected Matthew to place them together as he did the mustard seed and the leaven and the treasure and the pearl. But these are totally different stories. The wheat and the tares and the dragnet. In the former there is an earth scene. Earth scene. Epitase gates. And in the latter there is a sea scene. A sea scene. But in both cases the world is implied. Taken together, these two parables teach one outstanding truth, namely that the professed church, good and evil, are intermingled and further. The professed churches and the true church are intermingled. By the way, the true churches have never persecuted anybody. All the true churches do is preach the word. We don't go out with a knife or a gun and hold it to somebody's head or to their throat and say, repent and believe like we do or we'll kill you. False churches do that. Violence. The time of the separation has been set. The bad should mourn, for if they die in their sin, they are eternally, forever doomed and accursed. The dragnet is given the last place in a series of seven parables because it fixes attention upon the end of the age of grace. No grace after that. Judgment. The final consummation of the judgment. Emphasis in this parable is placed upon the use and the haul of the net and the consummation of the age. After relating the parable in terms familiar to his fishermen disciples, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like such in its consummation when the net will be drawn, the dragnet will be gone, and separation undertaken. As with the three previous parables, this seventh one was given to men of faith. It was given to men of faith, whom the Lord initiated into the eternal and hidden aspects of his personal kingdom. Truth, not as seen by men, but from the standpoint of God. We can analyze the parable thus: the net, the sea, the fishermen, the fish, and the angels. The net, the sea, the fishermen, the fish, and the angels. First of all, the net. The word Jesus used for a net, singularly appropriate for the parable, was spoken by the Sea of Galilee, implies a net, a dragnet, large and hauling net, of great length, weighted down by lead, made to sweep the entire bottom of the sea and gather every fish in mass. Like the great dragnets out in the factory ships. It is called a drag or draw net because it drags along the bottom of the water and gathers fish of every kind into its mesh. The symbolism of the net is plain for all to see. It represents the proclamation of the presentation of the gospel, redeeming grace, and the responsibility of men to believe or curse themselves. Have you ever noticed one thing? John the Baptist preached, and Herod heard him preach. He even protected him, put him in protective custody. But Herod did not believe. He did not believe. He refused to repent and to call upon God to save his soul. When Jesus was sent to him by Pontius Pilate, Jesus never answered him or said one word. You know why? Herod had already heard the word of God. Herod was already in the net of Satan. Herod was already in the clutches of the devil. He had made his choice. No more time. He sent away the grace of God. The gospel, redeeming grace, is given to all men. The wide, sweeping, and all-embracing net illustrates the wide reach and effectual operation of the gospel whereby men are drawn in the profession of Christianity and into the fellowship of God's people and the family of God. The sea. The sea of the parable represents a whole mass of fallen humanity. The whole mass of fallen humanity. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters are cast upon mire and dirt, Isaiah 57, 20 and 21, and Daniel 7 and 3, Revelation 13, 1. What a dark abyss of sin there is in that desperate accursed and cursed seed. The dark abyss of sin and error and false religion, ignorance, men, ignorant men live in it. Willfully ignorant men live in it. Yet they can be drawn out by the Spirit of God as the terms of God are given to them if they accept them. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Believe what? Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, believe in the gospel. And what is the gospel? That which he had given unto them, God had given unto him, that Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures, that he died according to the Scriptures, that he was raised according to the Scriptures, that he lives forevermore. For if you shall call upon the name of the Lord, you believe, your confession is made with your mouth, you believe in the heart, and God clothes you in his clothing of righteousness. The fisherman. The disciples listened to Jesus all the time. He said, "All, come after me and I'll make you fishers of men." The disciples listened to Jesus fully and understood the implication of this parable. When he found many of them, they were casting or mending their nets, for they were fishers of men. They were fishermen. And he called them, "I will make you become fishers of men." Plying the sea, the fishers, the fishermen. What we do is we give the world the saving grace of God through the gospel. If that doesn't work, nothing's going to work. Nothing will work. We know who the angels are. Throughout the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit is active, forming true Christians and true churches and the bride of Christ. As fishermen are occupied with the gospel net, but at the close of the dispensation of that age, which will terminate the return of Christ to receive his own, he will take to himself all the good fish, or the wheat, and the bad fish, or the tares, the bad tree, shall be thrown into the furnace of fire. Thrown into the furnace of fire. What kind of fish are you? Even the best Christians in the world come to times of what we call despair. Sometimes in life, life is not fair. The world is not fair, people. If you're a Christian, the world is not fair. If you've gone through this life as a Christian without all kinds of problems and controversies and without a divorce, without horrible things happening to you in life, without a church fight even, you're real lucky. You're very lucky. Because the rest of us have been through it all. Sometimes more than you want. But this is part of the world. The sun shines on the good and the bad. The rain falls on the good and the wicked. We all go through this. We go through depression and despair at times. But we're not without hope. If you're in Christ, you have hope. We drag this old sinful body around with us all the time, day after day after day after day. When you meet temptations, you've got the power of God to pray and ask God to help you. And the Spirit of God that lives in you can empower you. And sometimes we fall, regardless. We slip. But the Lord is there to pick us up again. He's our advocate. One thing about a saved person, there are two kinds of sinners in the world, saved sinners and lost sinners. The saved sinners know the Lord, and the Lord knows them. The lost sinners will know the Lord, and the Lord will know them. are you today? Who are you? What kind of fish are you? Are you that bad tree? Are you that bad vine? Are you? You don't want to. I mean, once you close your eyes in death, there is no more hope. There's no second chance. If you want to have Christ in your life today, ask Him this day. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not the next day. You don't have any hope of that even. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message to your people and to those that might hear your word. I pray that you convict all of sin, righteous, and judgment to come. Father, comfort your people, comfort your children. Caress them, spank them up straight sometimes. Love them, I pray. I thank you for my students out there all over this world, Europe and all the way through the land. I pray for them all the time. I thank you for them. Father, I pray that you touch each and every one of their hearts. Touch them. Guide them. Correct them. Love them. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.